You're supposed to say the lines.
Oh, is it? I gotta say that?
Yes.
Public service announcement. Using opinions or other opinions.
Fuck that bullshit. They are my opinions. And my guests. No one else's. Remember, this show ain't for chitlins' ears. So listening discretion and viewing discretion is advised. This is a paranormal horror crime show. So the scenes and the sounds can be a little terrifying to those little ears and those little eyeballs. And of course, there's obviously cussing. I mean, it's me. Oh, please don't do anything that these stupid-ass people do in the podcast. This is for entertainment purposes and for you guys to listen with your ears. Consume the knowledge. And now, time for the show.
Exploring the paranormal perspective.
We're live. Yeah. And I have the lovely goddess Angel.
He has my love for them has nothing to do.
No,
you know, on their religion. It's as long as you're a good person, that's what I focus on. But as I, you know, I like to build women up. And I, you know, at home, I was like, Mom, I was like, I don't know who this little boy is. What should I do? You know, they weren't expecting that. They knew I'd have some kind of ability, but to have multiple, it's impossible not to talk about Hinsdale and just kind of give people an idea of all the different abilities that people can have. Fairy folk, the fae folk.
Yep.
Do believe in them. Yes, absolutely. I've seen them with nature, with my beliefs and my practices. So I've used fairy magic at times.
Don't forget to click that like, subscribe, follow. You know the drill. Wherever you watch, wherever you listen. And thank you so much for your support.
Elementals?
Yeah.
Is that what he means?
Elementals, okay. Yeah. I said it wrong.
So, fairy folk, the fae folk.
Yep.
Do believe in them. Yes, absolutely. I've seen them. I work with nature, with my beliefs and my practices. So I've used fairy magic at times. So, yeah. I think they're amazing little creatures.
Maybe we'll catch something while we're out there.
Part and they're to be worked with delicately, so don't just go out there jumping and saying I want to play with the fairies because you'll be sorry. Don't do that. Don't do that.
I was told by some people that were in the chat one night because I was talking about going to the Hinsdale house, and they said to bring candies as offerings.
Fairies like sweets, but I always take fruit. And put a cup of honey out for them, and I always bake sweet bread to take with us, and I put the sweet bread out not just for the fae, but for the natives too.
Oh, nice.
And I bring tobacco for the natives too. Yeah.
I might add, well, I want to do that, so I'll probably bring something. I don't know. But I'll bring something for them.
It really is. It's the intention behind it. You know, you could bring an apple and this is for you, you know, yeah. Kind of intention. They'll accept it.
Yeah, awesome.
You don't have to be crazy specific.
Dawn said honey. Yep. Some say the fae can be very temperamental.
Oh, yeah. They have strict rules. That's why I said don't just... You have to really understand them to work with them. And it, yeah, it's not for amateurs. So don't go out there poking up the fairies, y'all.
I don't plan on going out to poke any fairies. If I go out there to talk to the fairies, it will be by your side. Because I will be the first to admit, I don't know that much about them.
I'm always good experiences with them, so they love me. Yeah.
Well, I hope that they at least do something while I'm there, because I would love to experience it. And that's one of the reasons I'm going, because like you said, it's a buffet, and I'm ready for the buffet.
I'll smell of a hangover afterwards.
Well, hey, I've had quite a few hangovers in my lifetime. I think I can do it.
I have faith in you.
I'm open. I'll be riding back going, I can't do this. I'm so tired.
She'll be like, did that bitch just get me into?
Right? I'm crashing, Debbie, you're driving. And Debbie's probably going, no, we both crashing. We're going to be back on Sunday. So how do you select the topics for your books and things like that? Like, I know your podcast. Do you select the topics for your podcast, or do the other two?
It's pretty much my show. My producer, I did an interview with these guys about 5 years ago. And, you know, how I leave such an impression on folks, you know?
Oh, yeah. I don't, well, yeah.
James kind of just stayed following me, even after they ended their show. And, yeah, just out of nowhere, he sends me a message one day and he says, hey, he says, I think you need to have your own show. And he says, me and Eric, you know, we have all the equipment and the know-how and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, it would be your show. And he's like, we want it to be your face, your personality. He's like, your giggle, because they love my giggle. And I'm like, all right, I'm down. Let's do it. And it's been an experience. It took me a few weeks to get my confidence, and I needed it because they were kind of like, I told them the first couple episodes, like, you two take the lead. I don't know what I'm doing. I need to, you know, kind of get my feet wet with this. So you two take the lead. Well, by the third week, I had done, I was done with them taking the lead. I'm like, all right, this is my show.
Back off.
You know, like, that's all right. So I've had enough. So, yeah. And it's been good. I've had a lot of fun with it. And the funny thing is, I think one out of the 10 episodes that we've aired so far, nobody mentioned the Hinsdale House. Like, we had guests on last week, and my question to them was, what is the most haunted location that you two have been to, right? Not even knowing that they had been to Hinsdale.
Oh, but wow.
Hinsdale. And they've been doing it for just as long as I have. They've been doing it for 40 years, and they've been to a lot of places, too. And they said, hands down, hands down. I'm like, what the heck? I'm getting, like, Dan's getting all this free plug.
Right?
For Hinsdale, because, and it's inadvertently coming. Like, it's organically being mentioned on the show. It's wild. So, yeah, I love the show. It's a lot of fun. We got some kinks to work out, you know, but.
That's with any show.
The listeners are there. I get so many messages, and they, you know, my laughter, they keep saying it's very infectious, and they get to giggling, and then I'll have to stop and pause the show until they're done giggling to go back and then listen to it, because I get them to laughing, which is just great to hear, you know? So, yeah.
That is always awesome. I always try to do a positive influence on a show, too, because it's like I tell everybody, be yourself. If you want a beer, drink a beer. If you want to drink, I was just drinking rum. So, just be you. I mean, that's how I'm always felt with my shows. And I didn't really have that on the previous show. I couldn't really be me, even though I was, you know, but it was just a lot of negativity. And I am a very positive person. And I try to exert that positivity out to everybody else, because I know how many people really need that positivity.
Laughter and really is the best medicine.
It is so much the best medicine. I just got through telling somebody that on another, I was watching somebody play a game, and I'm like, oh my God, laughter is the best medicine, hands down. And they were like, yeah, definitely. So it is, yes, what you said, it is the best medicine. And I like going to
see things like that and hear shows like that. I don't necessarily like going to a podcast and hearing nothing about, oh, this is so bad and this is so wrong and you're a horrible person and you're this if you do this. And I mean, everybody's different. Everybody's different. Everybody has a difference of opinion. And what's great about this great nation that I am a part of and served for is that we have the freedom to do that.
Right.
And it's just all in respect. It's respect your fellow man, no matter what they think or what's going on. Respect your fellow man and what they believe and what they want.
Right. Yeah.
But that's my rant.
We will.
Yes.
Too. Yeah.
So I know it's after 4. Do you still have some time?
Oh yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Awesome.
As long as you don't mind my birdie. My birds have come to eat and they're being very loud.
Oh, I don't mind them at all. It's beautiful music. Beautiful music. Background music.
Yeah, I love birds.
I do too. And I had saw somebody that made a birdhouse that was connected to their window, and they kind of made it look like a miniature room or something and put the seeds out in the room. It was adorable. What a great way to get a picture and watch them. I'm gonna have to think about doing stuff like that. So along with your
cat nuts, if you did.
Oh, no, I don't have a cat. Or I have dogs. So it'll probably drive them nuts, too. So along with your podcast, your writing, your mediumshipness. what really... Let's see, how do I reward this? You are also very creative in other aspects of your life as well. Like, you create oracle decks. So what brought you into making oracle decks?
Actually, my publisher asked me to. And the first deck that I created was a 56-card deck. Came with a companion book. Unfortunately, publisher chose the wrong company to get them printed through.
Oh no.
So it was kind of, I don't want to say it was a waste, but it kind of was, because it's too difficult to get them printed out through this company and everything. So I've created three other ones besides that. So I have 4 decks out there right now. But the one is extremely hard to get. But I've always used oracle decks. I've used tarot cards since I was 15. Divination has always been a part of my life. I've written books on divination. I think that's where the creating thing came into, because I know, and most of mine are like animal affiliated. Like, most of them are, you know, animal spiritualism. And like, one of them is our darker selves, you know, things that, because most oracle decks are very positive and, you know, everything's sunshine and puppies and rainbows, you know. And then the deck that I created, it's pretty blunt and direct. And, you know, if you're being stupid, it'll call you out and tell you you're being stupid, you know. And so, yeah, I definitely need more decks like that out there, you know. We need a little reality check every once in a while, you know.
Yes, definitely. Rise of the Lion came into the chat, said, I'm so sexy and thick. Lion, you're so crazy. he said, hey, Angel. Dawn says, I'm a weight writer and a divination man myself. So do you do any scrying? If so, what type?
I do not do scrying, no.
No scrying, Dawn, sorry.
Pendulum, and a spirit board. But scrying is not something I've just never, there's no reason why I haven't, I just haven't.
So how do you balance all of this stuff with your abilities, your podcast, your writing?
I don't sleep.
I understand that.
Like 3 or 4 hours, if I'm lucky. I've been like that for a very long time. But I have PTSD, so I suffer from nightmares too.
Yeah.
So that keeps me up. And if it's not that, it's the spirits. You know, like the other morning, somebody yelled my name. It was so rude. I had just like only been sleeping for like 2 hours and somebody in my room yelled my name. And I sat up in bed, and as I sat up, I could see, like, I don't know what exactly I saw. It was kind of like a misty blob, I guess. So I don't know if I caught something manifesting in the process or if it was the tail end of it or whatever, but they were like walking out of my bedroom door after I heard somebody yell my name. So and Bob is good for that. Like, if I need to be aware of something, or you know, he just wants attention, he'll knock on my door, or he'll get the dog worked up.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, we've captured him on SLS camera sitting on the floor messing with my dog, and like he'll like be touching Micah's head, like petting him, and you'll see Micah's head go back like somebody's petting his head, you know. It's hilarious.
Oh, but wow.
Get him worked up in the morning, and if I'm not, you know, paying attention to him, so
leave it to Bob. You should have a shirt made. Leave it to Bob.
Time saying, damn it, Bob, knock it off, Bob, you know. Yeah, he's a jokester, but we love him. Like, he's a part of our home, so yeah.
Aww.
He gets away with a lot, but yeah, I have to scold him every once in a while.
Let me sleep.
No, I have to scold him for messing with Ruth.
Yeah. Leave the dog alone.
One night, and it was because she
leave my name. I'm not my neighbor. All right.
She had dismissed something that was clearly him manipulating the motion sensor.
Oh,
but
no.
Because she didn't want to believe it, she kept passing it off as bugs. Well, bugs don't make any of the other lights, and it's the same light that we have around the house go off. I'm like, whatever, think what you want. We go inside, back into the house. We're sitting there, and I'm kind of joking with her about it. And out of nowhere, right behind her head is the loudest bang. Like, somebody took their fist and banged on the wall. Now here's the thing, our house is brick. It's a brick house.
Oh, there's my god.
Side. So
right?
He had to have been like, it happened from inside the house, but he had to have been like right by her.
Right by her head, yeah.
All right, keep dismissing me now, you know? And I could hear him laughing when she jumped, man. I lost it. I'm like, I was laughing so hard. And I could hear him laughing along with me. But yeah, he like does things like that to her, and then I had to scold him after I was done laughing. I'm like, ah, okay, that was funny, but stop doing that, Bob.
Now, how long has she lived with you? She should have known this stuff by now. How can she be skeptic?
I warned her. Okay, I came here in September, but she's been a part of my goth crew for 4 years now, 5 years. She knows what I am. Like, I am normal equipment when we go on cases or hunts. Like, she knows that about me. I warned her before I moved in here, though. I'm like, are you sure you can handle this? I'm not coming alone. I'm coming with a fur baby and spirits. Oh yeah, we got it. I'm good. Yeah, that was in September, and we had stuff happening today and caught it on camera. He was messing with the dog, and yeah, he's just been very active today. So I left her in the house. I've been out on the porch, and I'm like, she can deal with him.
Bob, keep her entertained. So how have you gained such a high reputation in both the living and the dead communities?
Because I'm me. I'm real. Like, what you see is what you get. You know what I mean? I can be the sweetest person on earth, but you provoke me, or you disrespect my people, you flip that switch and it's over.
Yep.
You know, so I'm very real and direct when I'm, no matter who I'm dealing with. And I think that's, you know, for the most part, I think that's where my reputation holds its highest key, because I'm just real with people, you know? If I don't like you, and it's not very often I meet somebody and I don't like them right off the bat, but I don't play pretend like I like you at all. You'll know it, you'll feel it. I won't even have to where you will feel my dislike of you. It is what it is.
That's the biggest key, too. That's the biggest key in keeping honesty and trust with people, is to be yourself. Don't play a character online. Don't pretend to be something when you're really not, because that's going to bite you in the ass, and that's going to turn out to be very detrimental in the end.
Right. It's easy to do if you are always at home and your whole life is social media.
Yeah.
You can't do that when you're doing conventions and you're around thousands of people every year.
Right.
That shit, the colors come out, you know what I mean? People's true colors come out when you're around people. And if you're not who you are on social media, you will get blasted and you will get called out, no doubt.
Oh yeah.
So that's the other thing, like, who I am on social media is who I am at those conventions. Love me or hate me, it's me.
Yep. That's one of my biggest things on my personal profile. It may not be on my business profile, but it's on my personal. Love me for me or don't.
Right.
You either stay or you go. One or the other.
You know,
I've been called a bitch. I've been called an asshole just because I'm blunt and I'm honest. And I'm sorry. That's just who I am. Well, actually, no, I'm not sorry. That's who I am. I don't like people beating around the bush. If there's something about me that you don't like, tell me. I mean, I'm not going to change. I am who I am. Right. But at the same time, don't provoke me, because you poke the bear, you're gonna get the bear.
You don't want to flip that witch switch. That's the equivalent of poking the bear.
Yep.
Don't do it. It's not recommended.
Mm-mm, not at all. Because you'll be ignored, you'll be dismissed, and that's it.
And you'll feel my absence.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. And Floofy, hush, I know you love me. Dawn has another question for you. What advice would you give to, say, a less practiced gifted person to help them hone in and strengthen any gifts?
Meditation. Start out at 5 minutes. When you can get to 30 minutes of just relaxed, clear-minded, no monkey brain meditation, when you can reach that level of 30 minutes, then that's everything opens. All your awareness, all, you know, your abilities have the opportunity to be not, you know, they're not restricted because you're so open when you're meditating. And that's the quickest way to, I guess, hone in on them. Developing them, that's a different story. Developing them, it's practice like anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you feel something, write it down, log it. You know, pay attention to the time, pay attention to the day, you know, and if something comes up, make sure you can go back and look at that log, and that'll help you understand what you're capable of doing, and then you can further develop from that on. Because you don't know how many you have. You may have one gift. I have 10, there's 10 different abilities that I'm capable of doing. You know, there's like 13 or 15 different psychic abilities that somebody can have. I have 10 of them. It is overwhelming. I don't recommend having that or opening that many, because no sleep.
Yeah. Well, I barely get any sleep anyway. That's just habit from the military, though.
But most people genuinely have 2 to 3 different abilities, you know. You have to find out what they are and strengthen them. But starting out meditating is definitely the first stepping stone.
It is so hard for me to sit down and meditate because my mind goes a million different directions.
That monkey mind that Buddhists talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I say that to people and they look at me like I'm nuts, but it's an actual thing. It's called monkey mind. The Buddhists call it that for a reason. It's like a bunch of little monkeys in there operating different, you know, levers, and you can't stop it and stop that chaos.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to stop that chaos in your mind and relax. And I tell people that struggle with it to light a candle and focus on the flame. And almost like let your vision just kind of get blurry. Like you can see the flame, but you're not clearly seeing it. And if you can do that, just focusing on that one particular thing will help with that monkey mind. And that's the biggest exercise that I try and teach people, and it helps.
Gotta make that time.
And when you are ready, or if you're ever ready to completely open up your abilities, investigating takes on a whole new level. Absolutely.
Dawn says, I've been avoiding meditation for quite some time. It stirs up too much. What do you mean stir up too much? I'm confused on that one. But going back to you, what methods does your goth team use to validate their findings?
Well, typically what happens is, you know, I'm the equipment. I'm the walking, talking equipment. So I do the initial walkthrough and, you know, I kind of relay to them what I'm picking up, where I'm picking it up from. And then they'll use the equipment to validate what I'm feeling and saying. And honestly, I'm rarely wrong. And if I'm wrong, it's because maybe, you know, there's too many spirits at once trying to get to me and I can't hone in on one. So I can't figure out if it's male, female, you know, or what do they want, you know, that kind of thing. But that's pretty much what we do. The SLS has been a great piece of equipment.
I love that equipment.
Yeah, what I'm feeling like, you know, because I know when they're next to me, I know where they're standing, I know if they're holding my hand, if they're, you know, things like that. And I'll tell them and they'll look through the SLS camera and, you know, yeah, that's what they're doing. You know, like if I feel a hand on my shoulder, they're like, yeah, it's, you know, so it's really not validation for the outside world, more so it's just for us. And I don't really need the validation. I know what I'm feeling is legit, but I think it's, you know, for them so they can kind of experience it through the equipment, how I'm experiencing it, you know? So,
yeah.
Because there's no way to share that.
No.
I can't share with you that, you know, I have a spirit holding my hand and I can tell you that it feels tingly and I can tell you that it's not cold like you would think it is. Like, you know, it's like electric. It's electricity. It's crazy feeling. I can explain it, but I can't share it with you.
Right.
So, you know, they use the equipment for validation pretty much for that.
Yeah. And what are their skills? What are some of the skills that they have that they bring to the group?
They're both empaths, so they can sometimes pick up on emotional, you know, type in energy that's lingering. But both of them will tell you they really don't have abilities. They use the equipment because they kind of have to, but that's, right. You know, a lot of investigators do, you know, not everybody is a medium and not everybody is a psychic. And, you know, so they rely on the equipment, which is fine, you know, like I said, it validates what I'm feeling and what I'm telling them. So, but I, you know, I do all the evidence review. I can't really get them on board.
Oh, girl, I know.
I mean, I've walked away from Hinsdale with 140 hours of audio.
Oh, my God.
And guess who had to go through all 140 hours of audio?
Oh, my God.
And then if we have more than one recorder going, that's 280 hours of audio because you can't listen to two recorders at once.
Nope.
Yeah, so.
Oh, God, I understand completely.
Yeah,
trying to get this. Like, y'all got it done yet? Y'all got it done yet? No, I haven't had time.
Right.
And I know you've had time.
It's probably one of my biggest pet peeves when it comes to investigating because, okay, some people spend thousands and thousands of dollars on equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds and hundreds of dollars to get into these locations.
Yep.
You walk around this building for 6 to 8 hours asking questions. And then you go home.
And don't do anything.
Now we're going to be right back after this brief break.
Are you looking for a supernatural radio show that is informative and fun? A show with topics such as ghosts, Bigfoot, psychic energy, spirits, cryptids, and more? hosted by paranormal investigators with years of investigations under their belts? Then look no further than The Calling 2.0, powered by the Sim Crew, hosted by paranormal investigator Jerry and psychic medium Valentina, along with others. Tune in Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hey, I told you we're going to be right back. Wasn't that long, right? Right?
Why?
Yeah, what's the point? You just wasted time.
Why even record?
Exactly.
You know, and it's, to me, it's one of the most disrespectful things that you can do to a spirit, is coming to their space, demand and ask them to talk to you. They talk to you, but you don't take the time out to listen to the response.
Right.
That tells me what that really bothers
me. To me, those aren't investigators. Those are just ghost hunters. Those are people that want to go out and play. Those, yeah. And to me, it drives me nuts because, excuse me, I've had people on my team that say they're so passionate about this and they want to do this so much, but yet they come home after we've done this and I'll upload all the stuff for people to review and I get nothing from them for weeks, months. And it's like, why should I bring you with me on these things when you're not going to help me in the end to come up with anything?
Right. Yeah.
And it does. It drives me absolutely bananas because I do this. I'm a mom. I'm a wife. I have, you know, this podcast. I do a gaming channel. I work a full-time job and I can still find time.
Right.
To listen to something. I can listen to audio and do crafting or do something with my hands while I'm listening to it. But I don't understand how some people just don't want to know or don't, you know, expect to know anything or even try, especially spending that money.
Peas we've captured or I've captured have been at hints. So I'm telling you right now, do not neglect going over evidence.
Oh, I do not plan to. I do not plan to.
It is, you can't beat it. I'm telling you right now. And it's not all nice and positive.
Mm-mm.
I mean, we got VPs of two men. Me and Ruth were in the living room. This is while we were sleeping. And on her recorder, two men said, let's F them up. Clear as day. A couple minutes later, kill them. Like, you know, and we both heard this the next day when she's going over, you know, the recorder. And I was like, well, she actually gave it to me to listen to. And then I took it outside to her. And I was like, tell me what you hear. She plays it. And she's like, holy shit. She's like, there were two guys in the living room with us last night. And I'm like, oh, and they weren't very friendly. I don't know. See, that's the problem, because my first impression that it was residual. But the fact that the one guy says to the other, let's F them up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there were two of us in the living room. Yeah. So I don't know. It could have been intelligent. Could have been residual. I don't know. We're fine.
Yeah.
Just, you know, out there. If you do go over evidence, you're going to get some crazy ass EVPs.
That is fine with me.
I mean, we're fine. They didn't hurt us. You know, they might want to do something bad to us, but, you know, it's, they didn't do anything. So.
That's totally fine. And if you don't mind company, I wouldn't mind spending the night in there because I would love to hear what happens.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm in for it for every bit of evidence I can find.
Like, six people in the living room at once to sleep. Because some people are not okay with not being away from me. So they want to sleep in the same room where I'm at, and I always sleep in the living room, so.
Are there other places in the house that are
in there?
There is? Are there other?
We've had like two blow-up mattresses.
Oh.
The couch that I usually sleep on, there's that couch, and then there's like a love seat, and then there's another longer couch, but I don't know how comfortable the longer couch is. So if you have a blow-up mattress, bring it.
Okay.
There's like a little nook in the living room that used to be Beth's room. That's where Ruth usually puts her mattress at. And then a whole, you'd have to sleep on top of the trap door though, where they drop the dead bodies to go into the basement in the wintertime. So if you're okay with sleeping on top of that and where they held the exorcism, then you could sleep right there.
I'm fine. Are there any other places in the house that are haunted as well, or just in the living room is the main place that you're going to get the...
It's
the whole place.
You've been in the living room, because I do what's called silent sessions, okay? Mm. And that's awesome. It's, all it is we turn on our EVP recorders, and we're just silent and let the spirits do their thing and listen to the house and, you know, things like that. And while we were doing that, my friend Melanie and I, it was just her and I up there that night, and in the kitchen there's a utility closet and there's a silver doorknob on it. We were in the living room doing a silent session and we could hear somebody turn that doorknob, and they kept turning it and turning it and turning it. And there's nothing, there's just a utility closet there. There's no way to access it from the outside. So whoever, and it's locked. There's no, like, Dan has the key. It's none of the guests have a key to this thing. So whoever was turning the knob was doing it from inside the closet.
Oh, wow.
That was crazy. It's, I wish I could, you just have to kind of see for yourself, yep, baby.
I am. I'm looking forward to it.
It's just nonstop. It really is. The first night might be a little quiet because it takes the spirits a little time to get familiar with, especially new people.
Mm-hmm.
But that second night and after, it doesn't stop.
That's good. I don't want it to stop. I want it to keep going constantly. Don said, what I'd meant was if I do meditate, I seem to turn into a bug light welcome mat and attract quite a bit, and it's just hard to deal with.
Attract spirits? I don't know what he's attracting.
Yeah, because he said quite a bit. I'm not sure.
Honestly, with meditation, you should be pushing everything out. You shouldn't be allowing anything in. It should be, you need to empty your mind, so... I don't know if you're talking about energy, like if you're getting bombarded by energy or maybe spirits. I'm not quite sure what you're talking about, but yeah, you shouldn't be really absorbing anything. That's the time when you push everything out and clear your mind so you can meditate. I'm not quite sure. I've never heard anybody say they've meditated and it's brought things in. So.
Do you mean while you're meditating or after you meditate, Dawn? On your team name, Goth, is it an acronym for something?
Goddesses on the Hunt. And it just fit us perfectly because I call everybody goddesses, you know. So, yeah, and it's just the three of us. It's an all-girl team, so yep, it was perfect.
That's awesome. So, what do you make sure you write in your book? I know I'm jumping from one thing to the other, but what do you do with your books to attract the readers? Is there a different kind of style you write, or is it the erotica?
I have a lot of fans with my erotica, no doubt. No, there's nothing really outrageous that I do to draw attention. I think what I've heard mostly from my readers that they love about it and my writing is that I write how I talk. I don't try and, you know, confuse people. I don't use big fancy words. I talk, you know, like I'm talking to you. That's how I write, you know. Even with my erotica, like you'll hear, if you read my erotica, you'll catch different phrases that I myself say all the time. And people will catch that and be like, you say that. I'm like, I do.
You're right.
So, yeah.
So I know in the past you have told me, and it's on season one, if you guys want to go back and listen to her interview that I did last season, but you've kind of imprinted some of your characters with not necessarily the same thing that is somebody, but you kind of take their personality and kind of pop it into one of your characters. Do you do that?
If we've met, you know, yeah, there's a good chance that you could be used as like a reference or like a basic prototype for a character. No doubt about it.
That's her warning.
There's many of y'all out there that I've used for my naughty books, just so you know.
The naughty style. Yes, Luffy, the naughty style.
One series that was based pretty much on the actual person. And that was a lot of fun because that was a lot different. Because all the characters prior to that, you know, they may have been loosely based off of people I knew, but, you know, it was my own imagery, like, you know, maybe the color of the hair was different or whatever, you know, but it was just, you know, kind of based off the person. There's only one series that's based off an actual, like, his whole persona, everything, you know, was put into the book. So that was a lot of fun because definitely made me realize that when you write from that perspective of somebody that you actually know and you're and you know that character kind of is them, that's a whole nother level of I shouldn't do that no more.
Nope. So the concept idea is better than
just won't.
Won't get disappointed. I'm just kidding.
That wasn't even about being disappointed. It made it a little awkward in the beginning. You know what I mean?
See
that person and, you know, face to face, and it's like, oh boy. You know? Like,
I gotta go. I'll see you in a little bit. Bye.
Yeah. I think it's like blushing or something because they feel really hard. Okay, let's change the subject.
All right, that's it. We're changing the subject. Dawn said both. I feel watched heavily when I try to get back into meditation. I think what it is that meditation is making me more sensitive overall.
Okay, so, well, then he's you're not just meditating. You're literally opening yourself. I'm gonna go right back to using a candle and focusing on the flame because flame is purification. And it's a focal point. And while you're meditating on that flame, it's hard to explain, but you gotta close yourself off to any outside sources. You know what I mean? Like, and focus that, like, put that intention when you're looking at the flame and meditating. You know, you're not receiving anything. You want to clear your mind. That would be the only technique that I could think of to help with that, because typically when you're meditating, you know, you're not really opening yourself up, especially not in the beginning, you know?
Mm-mm. No. I think meditation for me kind of scares me more than I wouldn't really say scare me, not for myself, but probably for my family, because I feel if I do open up more, it's going to bring more in here. Right. And I know the Hubbers is a skeptic and he's like, don't bring anything bad here. And I'm like, I'm not planning on bringing anything bad, you know. Right. But
what about just meditating outside, like away from the house?
I had thought about doing it in the old geek's room and doing it in there and seeing if that would work, because it is quiet. It is a separate place than in here. And I could possibly do that. I have to find a place to sit, though, because I kind of stacked it up with my parents' stuff since I've used it last.
I know with both of you, though, you're mentioning that you're afraid of letting things in. When you meditate,
meditation.
I mean, it would be like anything else, though. You have to thank the space and energy when you're done. Like when you're done using a Ouija board.
Yeah.
You say goodbye, you close out the session.
Yeah.
It's the same concept. Like when you start to meditate, yeah, you're opening yourself up, but you're opening yourself up to positivity. And at the same time, you're putting that intention out there to keep me protected. So yeah. What you're talking about, things coming through, you just have to protect yourself while you're in that vulnerable state.
Okay.
You know, I've never let anything in to that degree when I've meditated. It's always been, I've cleared my mind and then images come to me and in the form of messages. And I don't know, I've always had an easy time with meditation, but I mean, my mom taught me when I was like 10 how to meditate though. So
I've had very Christian parents. So I was told, and a lot of people think that that's another reason why I have the block up, is because I've had parents that are like, you don't want to do that. You don't want to put that, bring that in. You want to make sure, that's not right. You should really go to the Lord and ask the Lord what he should do and stuff like that. And it's like, well, I believe there's a higher being. I believe there's a God. I've had too many of instances in my life where I should not be here right now. So I know there's a higher being watching out for me, whether it's God or one of my, grandparents from the past or an ancestor from the past or something. Something is watching over me to where, I'm being protected. And I thank God and thank them for that every day. But at the same time, I don't believe that it's just one religion. I believe it's a multitude of religions that are kind of coming from one being that.
Right.
I mean, that's, my thoughts. But whenever you get told that while you're growing up and you're grown and made to believe, that it's evil and you shouldn't do that and blah, 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 you kind of get that wall up while you're young.
That's my issue with, organized religion, is the fact that, a lot of it is fear-based,
control,
hypocrisy at its best.
Yep.
I can't get on board with it,
Hypocrisy is my biggest thing, and that's one of the reasons, and that's what I told my mom and my mother-in-law and everything else. That's one of the reasons I don't go to church. There's just too many hypocrites.
Yeah.
Wow. I heard that motorcycle or whatever it was in the background over there. It's like,
boys,
but we have about 15 minutes left, and I do want to ask about some of your things that are coming up and some of your insights on what you suggest to people and what you suggest to have them bring whenever they go on an investigation and stuff like that.
The next conventions, I will be at the Gettysburg Battlefield Bash next weekend, the 14th through the 16th. So excited. Karaoke, yo. We're gonna do karaoke. I'm so excited. I've been karaoke so long. It's just gonna be a huge party, and it's like a few days before my birthday too. I like celebrate my birthday there, and yeah, so that's coming up July 14th through the 16th. And then September 1st through the 3rd I will be in Michigan, Charlottesville, Michigan, at the Festival of Oddities. It's a two-day all weekend event outdoors. It's amazing. I was there last year. It was really fun. And then, Fright Reads Book Festival in Millersville, Maryland. That is the end of September. I think it's September 29th through August, or September 29th through October 1st. So,
awesome.
Those are the only ones that I'm booked for right now. It's been a crazy year. And moving, from my hometown and everything kind of diverted going to events and stuff. So next year I'm going to hit it heavy, but this year, yeah, it hasn't been too many. Too much going
on. Right?
Oh, I know, puppy.
He is just wanting attention. Go on. Go lay down. I will be going to SilCon and or KillCon, I don't know how they pronounce it. It's my first time going in Illinois in September. It's hot.
Too much shit, man.
Right? That's why mine is
networking and making those connections too, you know? And yep. Building the friendships, man. That's one of the best things I love about the conventions is meeting new people and just building them connections. It's yeah, and most of the ones that I've been to, well, prior to COVID, you know, we'd be at conventions and, well, you saw it in Kentucky. We would end up having like a big parking lot party.
Yeah.
Like everybody would congregate and we'd end up partying out in the parking lot in between bars and shit. I mean, that's awesome.
It's fun. It's yes, you do. You gain a lot of friendships and you start getting to know a lot of people that are interested in the same things you know. And I am so grateful for all the people that I've met that have shown their support, even through some of the bad times that I went through in the last few years. Because my biggest scare was, you know, what happened with that previous, you know, situation was that people were going to start looking at me in a negative light. And it was like, I really hope that, and you do find out who your friends really are in that aspect. Because even though you may have negativity shown at you, people actually do see you and they know you for who you are. So you really don't have to worry about things like that.
Right. This is, you know, those situations are really hard because, you know, the teams out there, you meet teams and then the teams break up or, you know, they have falling and then, you know, the people that met those folks, you know, we get stuck in the middle. Like,
oh, I know.
And I'm not one to take sides, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just won't. And but it's hard because if you meet somebody and you meet them as like a package deal,
yep,
you know what I mean, and then all of a sudden that the package is broken and damaged and it's separated, then you're like, well, shit, what the hell, man? Like, you know, it's hard because you don't want to have to take sides and you want to be everybody involved.
And exactly. And that's why I don't say anything about anything that's happened. I just say, you know, it was a negative situation. That's it. It's done. It's over with.
Right.
But I know there are some teams out there and I've seen it. I've been in the middle of it where one person will sit there and just talk nothing but negative about this person and how this person's this and this person's this. And then you start thinking about it and you're like, well, I've never seen them be that way. You know, I've never experienced that with them. And that's where you're stuck in the middle because you don't want to pinpoint this person as being something and this person as being something. So you're just like, well, you know, whatever happens. It happens to everybody.
Right. You know, I've been in the situations quite a few times and it's always if one person, you know, starts to talk bad about somebody else, it's cut off at the pass.
Mm-hmm.
About it, this is between you and that person. You know, I had this with the Hotel Kania. That's my heart. And I did my very first convention there, and the ladies that held that every year, like I said, they were a team. They were a package deal, and they had a falling out, and it was really hard on those of us that attended that event twice a year because we were serving them together. And that was no longer like that. And we, you know, some of us felt like we had to make choices, you know, and but I can tell you, neither one of them came to me and tried to talk shit on each other. Not once. Because I told them immediately, look, I'm not picking sides. I love you both.
Yep.
But you guys are bickering about it has nothing to do with me.
Yep.
It's not my relationship to you. That's between y'all.
Yep.
And they respected that, and not once have they talked shit on each other.
That's how it should be.
Yeah.
That's how it definitely should be.
Separating is cool, but do it with dignity.
Yeah, you know? Have a little respect. Don't sit there and try to force other people to look at it your side, because that's just going to push that person away, definitely.
Right, yep.
I totally understand. All right, so once again, you're going to be where?
Gettysburg Battlefield Bash, July 14th through the 16th. The Festival of Oddities in Charlottesville, Michigan, September 1st through the 3rd. And then Bright Reads Book Festival in Millersville, Maryland, September 29th through October 1st.
And where can people reach you at if they want to reach out to talk to you?
Facebook is my main page. So if you look for Angel, V as in Victor, A-O-W, V-O, you'll find me. And that's the easiest place to follow me.
Awesome. Angel, honey, thank you so much for coming on today. I so appreciate you.
I am so excited to see you and spend 4 days
with you. I know. It's going to be amazing. I look forward to it, too.
It's going to be awesome trouble. I need it. I love the awesome trouble, man.
Awesome trouble is always fun, especially when you go into situations like we're going to go into.
Yes.
Well, hang on just a moment and let me close out with everybody. Thank you, guys. Those that have stuck around and watched and asked questions, Dawn, thank you so much for your questions. They were awesome and appreciated. Those of you that subscribe, thank you so much for subscribing to the channel. Remember, every Sunday at 3 o'clock, unless otherwise mentioned because of guests. What the word I'm looking for? Yes. Yes. Thank you. Guest schedule. Just make sure you're following so you know what time the next one's gonna be. Until next time, stay true to yourself, stay free, stay sweet and awesome, and make sure you do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Until then, bye, y'all.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this interview with Angel Veo. Tune in this Sunday, 3 p.m. Central Time, for Rich Valdez from the Legion of Exorcists. That's this Sunday on kick.com/geeksparanormal. Tune in next week on Parax Radio Network for my interview with King Mike L. Thank you guys for listening. Bye, y'all.